All right, I had Brother Bradley to sing that song. Turn this down just a little bit. Sing that song because that's really going to be the subject matter tonight, which I think is a very important matter that we deal with as Christians, to realize that salvation that we have is offered to everyone. Thank God for the whosoever will gospel. There's a lot of folks who don't agree with that, but I don't see how you can disagree with it and still have the scripture. And I understand some of the arguments, and there are some difficulties in some of the thinking. But I believe to come down on the side of that the Lord loved the world, gave himself for the world, died for mankind, that it's whosoever will surely meaneth me. That's what the song that we just just sang says, and I believe that's what the scripture also teaches us. In the book of Romans tonight, chapter number 10, we get much of our doctrine from the writings of the Apostle Paul. Of course, he wrote most of the New Testament, but especially the book of Romans has so many different issues and so many different things that that we hold as truth and as really the foundations of our beliefs. And tonight we read in Romans chapter 10, we'll begin in verse number 6, and we'll stop at verse number 17. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And here's the faith, the word that we preach, Paul gives us in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You'll notice there Paul says, not all have obeyed the gospel. And he uses an Old Testament reference that is what we have in our text as Isaiah 53. Isaiah asked the question, who hath believed our report? Isaiah was a prophet of God. He was a preacher of righteousness. And many people believe, but there were those that would not believe. And so Paul references Isaiah in the Old Testament as he writes to these Romans and also the Jews that are mixed in with them. And he uses that illustration and he says, they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And so tonight I want us to deal with a subject that is, I think, important. It's a subject that's has been and is being ridiculed among a lot of called fundamentalists and fundamental Christians. A lot of well-known people have different ideas, and much of what they say is true, and much of what they say is right. But there are some areas that I think are lacking in their teaching because of the message that Paul gives us is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know how many times I've heard and don't know how many times I've said, when you see that word whosoever, you can put your name there because it's a whosoever. It means anybody. And so we just sing that song, whosoever surely meaneth me. And I want to assure you that that does mean you and I. Whosoever will may come. The word there means anyone, any person. It means everyone. In Revelation chapter 22, we have the last, what is called the last invitation of the Scripture. And the verse in chapter 22, verse 17, the Lord says, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. In this closing invitation, I believe the Lord puts His stamp of approval upon a whosoever gospel. He says, whosoever, there in that last book, the last chapter, and right near the last words of the message of the Bible, John writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And that, I believe it means just what it says. Whosoever will can take of that water of life. Now, there are some things that's involved in that that have to be met. But I believe anybody can come to a point under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I believe anyone can come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are there are a lot of preachers, there are a lot of colleges, there are a lot of well-known individuals that if I call some of their names, you would recognize them, that they have a little different slant on that. And to be real honest, some of the things they say gives me some problems, and some things that they say sometimes not as clear in the Scripture as we wish it was. But I believe the underlying thought of the Bible is that anybody can get saved. That the Word of God teaches that so very, very truly. In the Revelation, that verse 17 of chapter 22, this invitation, there's a obligation of whosoever. Everybody is obligated to do something with the gospel, and they should be motivated to take the water of life. And so there's the this message that is given: whosoever, let him take the water of life, and it says freely. Thank God salvation is free, and we can take it freely. There are those who would teach us there's only a select few number that's going to be saved, and it doesn't do any good to argue with them. It doesn't do any good to argue about it because they have their verses, and they have their thoughts, and they have their ideas, but I've never had one yet convince me, and I've talked to a lot, because I think it's a very important subject. I've never had one yet convince me that how you can say there's only a few when the Bible says Jesus is not willing that any would perish, that he died for mankind. And so we look at these verses tonight, and we this whosoever surely meaneth me, and it also means you. And it also means everybody outside these doors. It means those around the world in which we live. But the passage that we look at tonight, we can look at a few verses, and we can find there are some things that I think are important. In verse number 6 and 7, we find that the works of the flesh are rejected. Flesh cannot bring us to God. Our mind cannot understand God. And he says here, but the righteous, which is of faith, speaketh of this wise: who shall ascend to heaven? That is, who can bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, or to bring Christ again from the dead? And so the works of the flesh can never bring regeneration to our heart. The word regeneration means what we call rebirth, new birth. If you regenerate something, it means you start it, and there's life there. And so the works of the flesh cannot bring about regeneration. Now, the works of the flesh can bring on a lot of things. It can bring on a lot of excitement. It can bring on a lot of emotions. It can bring on a lot of different thing. But the flesh cannot bring on life. Only physical life and spiritual life comes from God. And so we find here that the works of the flesh are rejected. We can't go to God. We can't bring Him down to us. And that is impossible. Verse 8 and 9, we find that it's faith that is required. The word is nigh in thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And what he is preaching there, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and then and shalt believe in thy heart. And so there's some actions here on the part of a sinner. And we've got to remember that I do believe very strongly that a sinner is lost and a sinner is dead in sins and trespasses. I believe he's just as dead as a corpse is that lays before us. The Scripture lays that out. He cannot do anything. When you have a person that's dead, they cannot respond to you. And I believe a person that is dead in sins and trespass, they cannot respond unless God begins a work in their heart. Unless the Lord begins to open their understanding, and I believe begin the process of regeneration. Salvation is instantaneous, but there is a process that we come to that the Lord opens our minds and our heart and our thoughts, our processes of understanding, that we can believe by faith, which the Scripture tells us is also a gift of God. Salvation is a gift, but we only get salvation because of faith, and it is a gift of God also that brings about salvation. And so the word of faith is required. Paul said, this is the gospel that we preach. And the gospel that Paul's preaching here is that there must be confession, and there must be a confession of the heart and of the mouth and a belief in the heart. And so that is what takes place in the life as God begins to deal with the sinner. Then in those verses 10 through 17, we'll look at those more in detail tonight than the others. But this is the way of faith, how it is revealed. How do we receive? How do we get faith? And thank God, right in the midst of all that, it's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are part of the verses that is commonly called the Romans Road to Salvation. Whosoever shall call. How many times we've dealt with people and we've showed them these verses that all you have to do is call upon the Lord with a believing heart, with a trusting heart, with a convicted heart of sin. And so the explanation here is in very simple terms. It's in simple enough terms that a child can understand. It's in simple enough terms that a boy or a girl of a young age can understand in their mental processes what God has given them. They can believe and they can trust and they can call upon the name of the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people who say children cannot get saved. But Jesus was dealing with children a lot of different times, and he says, don't forbid them to come. Let the little children come unto me. And so I was in a Bible conference one time, and my goodness, everybody got up to preach. They sort of lambasted the idea that a child could get saved. And I had to preach after that. I was the next one on the agenda to preach. And I told them, I said, if y'all don't think a kid can get saved, then I need to go home. And I told them my personal experience. And it didn't go over too well, but still I had the opportunity to tell them what I thought. Anyway, and I said, if you don't want to hear me, I can leave. I said, the preacher who's inviting me to come, and if he doesn't want me, I'll go home right now. It won't be a problem a bit. And so we find that there is the process that God works in individuals. And I believe every person, whether it's a 8 or 9 year old kid or a 10 or 12 year old boy or girl, or whether they're 20 or 30, they have to come to the Lord with childlike faith. We don't understand it all. We have no answers. We have no ability to figure it out. And so we come to the Lord in childlike faith. And just like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, he said, Lord, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? There's no good thing we can do. We don't have any good things to offer. And the Bible says that man went away sorrowful that day. And so man tries to put a detailed ritual on how to go to heaven. If you used to take a phone book tonight and go down the phone numbers of different, just point to any of them you want to and call them and ask them what they think, how a person goes to heaven, you'd be surprised. Everybody has a different answer. Just about everybody will tell you something different on how to get to heaven, from the point of I don't think there is a heaven, or I don't know how you can be sure you're going to heaven. And so every answer, all the spectrum is there. But the Bible very clearly tells us how we can get to heaven. And it gives us here in this verse. And so there is an explanation here of salvation. There, first of all, has to be a conviction of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And that conviction does not work up from the flesh. I believe that conviction comes down from the hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And it comes down to an individual, and the Holy Spirit convicts that individual that they are a sinner. I believe very strongly, and I don't think there's any problem stating this, that unless a person is convicted of the Holy Ghost, they'll never get saved. Jesus said, unless the Father draw you, nobody's going to come. And so there is that drawing power of the Holy Spirit when a person hears the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God begins to deal and work, and an individual will say yes or no to that. There will be a response. And the Bible says in our verse tonight, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But before man can do that, before man will accept Christ and the teachings of the Lord, the resurrection and all the different teachings, I believe there is a conviction of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse number 8, and when he has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of reproof. It is the work of showing us what's wrong and then showing us a way of correction. And so we have here a conviction, and now we have a confession. We're convicted in our heart and we confess with our mouth concerning the resurrection and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, no man is going to confess Christ as Lord until he's convicted of the Holy Spirit, until the Lord teaches him, until the Spirit of God leads him and guides him and directs him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking of the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus cursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's very clear. Nobody's going to recognize him as Lord. Nobody's going to accept him as Savior except the work of the Holy Ghost. You see, we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost of God, is that element of it's hard to explain because you're talking about one, but you're dividing it into three. But the Holy Spirit's work and the Holy Spirit's action is to point everybody to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit never calls attention to himself. And so when you're listening on television and you get involved in a service that you didn't know what it was going to be like, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's being magnified, that's not the Holy Spirit. He does not magnify himself. He magnifies Jesus Christ. And he points people to the Lord for salvation. And so the Lord says, no man's going to say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess him as the Lord Jesus. And no one's going to say that, as we read, but by the Holy Ghost. We see a sinner, I must have and must be under conviction. I do not believe that you just decide when you're going to be a Christian. I do not believe it's in a 3-point prayer ABC, repeat after me. That is not the gospel story of salvation. Salvation is a work of the Holy Ghost on an individual's heart. Now, sometimes we get to the point that it's very easy to lead someone to Christ because they've already been worked over by the Holy Spirit and they realize their need. And we can lead them through those areas and those. But just to affirm it with our mouth, just to affirm it with our mind is not enough. There has to be a conviction in our heart. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And so we find there's that confession that is a verbal confession of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in someone that has been saved. There is that message that comes into our heart, and we want to tell somebody else what's happened. We want to be able to make a testimony to have salvation into our life and tell people what has happened. The Lord has changed us. And terminology sometimes is so wrong. And we use it and hear it so much that we do not even realize. But salvation is accepting what God did for us. Salvation is a belief and an acceptance by faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and through Him and He alone we have eternal life forever and forever. And that's whosoever can come. And that's for folks that will believe. We see also the evidence of salvation in verse number 11. For whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There's the evidence that something has taken place in our heart. We see the word ashamed. The word means to dishonor or to disgrace, to put into shame, to make to blush with shame. And so we find that as a Christian, we're not ashamed. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans also, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of that message that he preached. And he tells us what it is here in these verses that we read, the gospel of the Lord. And so we find that the evidence is that we're not ashamed. We have a biblical authority of salvation. For the Scripture saith, that's bottom line. Whatever the Scripture says is truth. The Scripture tells us, and that is the authority in our salvation. Here we see the idea of being confused or confounded. Don't be ashamed. Don't be mixed with disorder. Don't put to shame. Don't silence. Salvation is not based on a feeling. Salvation is based on a feeling, you may get up in the morning, you may not feel real saved. And you may feel saved in the morning before the day's over. You say, man, I'm not sure I am or not. That's emotion. Salvation is emotional, but salvation doesn't come about by our emotions. It is a belief in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary and how that He has offered it to us in salvation. So our salvation is not based on a feeling, but based upon a final authority of the Word of God. God said it. I believe it. God said it. Whether I believe it or not, that settles it. And so the Scripture very clearly tells us that we have a biblical authority. I've had people say, well, you're awful presumptuous in saying you know you're going to heaven. No, I'm not presumptuous. I'm convinced of it from the Word of God. I'm not presuming anything, and I'm not boasting of anything that I've done, but my salvation is not based on my prayer. My salvation is based on His person called Jesus Christ. Now, I know the Bible says, call on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And I understand all, but salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ and He alone. And sometimes it's a long process for an individual to get from where they are in their life until they're convinced that they need God. And it's not, sometimes it's not overnight, sometimes it's not in a week or two, sometimes it's a something that goes on, and that struggle goes on all the time in their soul. And all of a sudden the light of the gospel shines in their heart and they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's based upon the biblical authority of the salvation that we have. We need to realize that it's a broad appeal. it's not just a biblical authority, but the appeal is very broad. How broad is it? Whosoever believeth on him. Now, we know not everyone's going to believe, but whosoever believeth on him shall have life. That narrows it down, yes. That narrows a whole different group of people. It's for those that have believed. And so therefore they are the whosoever. They are the ones that the Lord, and I believe we are the called of God. He speaks to our heart. And he deals with us so very strong. The Bible says that Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And so it's hard to maybe make all these verses coincide with each other, but we're looking from the standpoint of an individual. I believe as Dr. Harry Arnside wrote a lot of commentaries. I'm not sure, but I believe it's him trying to explain eternal life and how we get it. He said, sort of going through a door, and up top of the door on our side says, whosoever will. You go through the door, you look back, it says, elect from the foundation of the world. And that's about the only way you can explain it. And we get too involved in details. We get too involved in things we don't understand. We get too involved in things that we can't explain when we let the best things go. I have a lot of friends that they're a little more hard on some things than I am. But they go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. They go out and witness to the Lord. Are they my enemy? Certainly not. They are doing the same thing I am doing, but we may have some different thoughts and ideas on foundational principles. But the main thing is getting the gospel out, preaching the gospel, and we'll find out whosoever we'll find out who it is, because they'll come to the Lord. They'll trust him. And so we have a biblical authority. We have a broad appeal, whosoever. I don't know who will be saved. I don't know who will not be saved. So therefore, I need to tell whosoever. I don't know where they are. I don't know how they will hear the gospel, but they need to hear it from us. They need to hear it from Christians. And the appeal is broad. It's whosoever will, let him come, drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever believeth on him shall have life. We have a bold message of salvation. He shall not be ashamed. A person that's ashamed of the Lord has a spiritual problem, has a need. I wonder if we're not ashamed to stand up and proclaim our faith in the Lord, or do we maybe blush with shame, sometimes with dishonor and disgrace? But we have salvation of righteousness, and those things come to us. And so there's the evidence. Whosoever, and if they're saved, if they're born again, they'll not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the evidence. In verse number 12, we have the equality of salvation. Verse number 12 says, for there is no difference. I believe Paul put that in there probably for the Jews' sake. They were very prejudicial people. And Paul, talking about salvation, he says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all and is rich unto all that call upon him. The key bottom line there is all that call upon him. You know who's going to do that? Part of that whosoever. They're going to call upon him, and Paul says there is no difference. There's an equality when it comes to salvation. How many times we've heard people say the ground is level at the foot of the cross. How true that is. Doesn't matter rich, poor, who we are. Doesn't matter what race, religion we are. The ground is level there. We all come as a sinner to him. No matter what our nationality, no matter what our social standing, we all come the same way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto me or unto the Father but by me. Rich unto all. Here in verse number 12, he says, no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all. Thank God he gives everybody the same dose of salvation. We're all made new creature in Christ. We're all the same in the sight of the Lord. We appear on the same level. We appeal to the same Lord. And we accept the same love of God. And we have an enjoyment of that. Men must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rich unto all is to be rich, to have an abundance, to have outward possessions physically, or to have an inward possession spiritually, being richly supplied of the resources that comes from salvation to all that will believe. Everybody's equal. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we have gospel preaching stations. That's why we have missions. That's why churches start other churches, because the gospel is the same to everyone. And you don't have to change the message because of the people. You don't have to change the message because of where they live or what their social standing is. The message is all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have an equality of salvation. Then number four, we have an ease of salvation. I like this. Verse number 13. That's our text verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The ease of salvation. Now there's a term that we have to be careful about. It's that term called easy believism. That's what I was dealing with a while ago. Now I believe salvation is very easy. But I do not believe in easy believism. I don't believe it's just, I think I'll be a Christian today. I don't believe it's that way. It's easy to become a Christian when God begins to work on your heart. All you got to do is accept. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is trust. But I have this understanding of the Scripture that it comes by a conviction of the Holy Ghost. It does not matter what a sinner has done. He can come to the Lord like anybody else. It doesn't matter what he's done in his life. He can come under conviction, confess their sin, and thank God he will save them. And the Bible says, save to the uttermost. The Bible says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's never been a repentant heart, a repentant soul come to the Lord, and the Lord said, no, I don't want you. If you've got to that point of repentance, the Lord wants you. He desires you. He's done that work in your heart and in your life. Here we find that Paul is addressing certain people. That certain people is for whosoever. Thank God tonight for those words. It is a very plain message, appeal that is given. Whosoever the appeal is shall call on the name of the Lord. If we believe and call upon him, then we have a promise that has been assured to us, shall be saved. Three little words, shall be saved. So tonight we see how easy salvation is. Religion has made it very difficult. The high religions of this world, they know nothing about the gospel. They have their traditions. They have their hundreds of years of things that have happened and rules that have been made, and all of a sudden the scriptures are lost and they don't have a gospel that they even preach. But thank God we have the gospel, and we tell the gospel to whosoever, so whosoever can come, so whosoever can be born again. There is essentials here. There are things that have to take place, and they're found here in verse number 14. And verse number 15. First of all, how shall they call on him and who they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they've not heard? How are they gonna do this? How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Or a proclaimer. So here's the essential that has to take place. Now there are people that believe if you're one of the elect, you're going to go to heaven regardless if you ever hear the gospel or not. That's a bunch of junk. That's just not true. Salvation is people calling on the Lord. How are they going to call? They got to hear. How are they going to believe? They got to hear the message. How are they going to hear the message? They've got to have somebody to tell them. That's why we are missionary. That's why we believe in missions. And so we find here that there is a proper call. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? He has just told us in verse number 13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here's the underlying essentials. They must hear the gospel. People around this world that have been saved because of the preaching of a missionary has been preached unto the gospel, and they come to know Christ just like I did and just like you did. So we need to remember there is a proper call. How should they call? And those if they've not believed on them, how are they going to call on the Lord if they don't know the Lord? How are they going to call on the Lord if they can't believe upon him? If they don't have any knowledge of him, how are they going to call? Then we find Christ here in this the latter part of verse number 14. How shall they believe whom they've not heard? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And then they must have the proper communication. How shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear without somebody giving them the message? The word preacher there doesn't necessarily mean a pastor. It doesn't necessarily mean just certain people. But when we go out and walk our daily walk and we tell somebody about Jesus Christ, you know what we're doing? We're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, woman, boy, girl, we're proclaiming the message of our Lord. And so if somebody's going to get saved, there's got to be a proclaimer. There's got to be somebody to tell. There's got to be somebody to hear. And those that hear, there'll be some somebodies that will believe. And that's that whosoever. We go to the world, we preach the gospel, and how are they going to go? Except they be sent. I believe to be sent out by the Holy Ghost. To be sent out by a local church. To be sent out by a group of people that believe the Lord Jesus Christ and believe the gospel. Tells us in verse number 15 that it's the gospel of peace that bring glad tidings of good things. That sounds like the message that was spoken when Jesus was born. Glad tidings of good things. So I'm glad tonight we have the gospel. I'm glad we have the message. I'm glad we can proclaim it. And I don't have to pick and choose. I just proclaim it to whosoever will. There will be some that will and there will be some that won't. There'll be some that will hear, and there'll be some that'll turn their deaf ear. And that's not God's fault. The message is clearly given. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. God bless the message of the gospel to whosoever will. Let's stand together tonight.